This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Habaim. Welcome, everyone, to the Monday afternoon Agra de Pirkei Shir, National Agra de Pirkei Shir. Today we have an amazing topic, Parshas Vayetze. Very excited to share today's subject with you, a public service announcement. We're now completing the Sefer Birchas HaTzadik, Likutim of the Divrei Torah of the Ben La'ashri, the Tzadik of Ranana, Rabbi Yitzchak HaKohen Huberman, if anybody wants to be Mashtatef. The Tzadik Ranana was a Talmud of Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai of Bulgari and a resident of the city of Sochachov. He was never blessed with children, and he offers an incentive that those who say over his Divrei Torah, he will pray for you in this world and in the next. Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze enjoys a feature that almost no other parsha enjoys, and that is, it is a parsha susuma. Parsha susuma means there are no peis and samachs in Parshas Vayetze. It is sealed shut. There are no, in various parshios, sometimes the subject matter is broken up as such that the next topic begins on the next line, or sometimes there are some spaces between one subject and the next. Not so Parshas Vayetze. There are no peis and samachs in Parshas Vayetze. Haloi davarhu. What is the reason for that? Why are there no peis and samachs in Parshas Vayetze? The Balaturim says, Yeshoimrim. Some say, Sheparsha zu susuma. This Parsha is sealed. The Hatam, the reason is, Lefisha Yatsa Beseser, because Yaakov Avinu went out in secrecy, Ubarach Behechave, and he fled in concealment. So Yaakov Avinu was running away from Esav. Yaakov Avinu had to flee in the cover of the night, so to speak, and therefore, in order to indicate his stealth escape, therefore, there are no peis and samachs in Parshas Vayetze. The Das Akedim also says, Lefikach parshazu susuma mimnei shayatza betzina mimnei Esav. He went out in concealment from Esav. But we would like to present b'zuchus harabim b'siyata d'shmaya a new interpretation why there are no peis and samachs in Parshas Vayetze. The Ar Gedalia of Gedalia Shor brings that in this parsha we do not find any susumais or psuchais, and the reason is, says the Ar Gedalyahu, that it's a remez, that this parsha is the parsha of Golos, and in the exile, everything is hidden, everything is concealed, everything is cloaked. So because Yaakov Avinu went into Golos, therefore this parsha, in order to reference that, have no peis and samachs. But again, we would like to offer a new approach to why there are no peis and samachs in Parshas Vayetze. We find something very interesting. Yaakov Avinu is the paragon of Torah. Avraham is Chesed. Yitzchak is Avoida. Yaakov is Torah. Titein Emes li Yaakov. We find the amazing Hasmada of Yaakov Avinu. Where do we see it? We see in a number of Rashis in Parshas Vayetze, in last week's Parsha, in last week's Parsha, 2 weeks ago, where in Vayetze, we find that Yaakov Avinu comes to the Har Habayis, Vayishkav b'makom ahu, he slept in that place, Lashon Miyot, a Lashon of exclusion. Ba'oisay makom shachav, there he slept. Avol yadalit shanim shashimesh b'veis Ever, the 14 years that Yaakov served in the Beis Ever, lo shachav b'layla, he did not lay down at night, shahaya oisek b'atayra, because he was engaged in learning Torah. Yaakov Avinu was engaged in learning Torah. So it's very interesting that Yaakov Avinu learned in Yeshiva Shema Eivar 14 years, and not only did he learn there 14 years, he learned uninterrupted. He did not sleep at night when he learned in the Yeshiva Shema Eivar. And it's interesting that nowhere does the Torah actually say that Yaakov Avinu learned in the Yeshiva Shem Be'Eber for 14 years. It's always alluded to. It's always hinted to. Vayishka b'makom ahu, there he slept, but elsewhere he did not sleep. elsewhere he did not sleep. Or at the end of Chaye Sara, Rashi says, in the name of Chia Bar Abba, why do we count the years of the life of Yishmael? In order to be Meyaches the years of Yaakov. From the years of Yishmael, we could learn that Yaakov Avinu, Shimesh Beveis Eiver Arba Esrei Shana. He served in the Beis Eiver for 14 years. So again, the Torah, so to speak, is like dancing through hoops, jumping through hoops, to avoid saying Yaakov learned 14 years. Why doesn't the Torah just say Yaakov learned 14 years? Then Rashi again in Toldos, Rashi says we're missing 14 years. Rashi says, Nitman Beveis Eiver Yodalet Shanim. But we see the great hasmada of Yaakov Avinu. Before Yaakov Avinu left his parents' house, he spent 14 years involved in learning Torah. And even the night that he left the yeshiva Shem Ve'Eiver, after he had learned 14 years, it says he went to sleep in that place, and he woke up in the morning, and he took the stone that was under his head, he made it a monument, and he poured oil on the top of the monument. Question. One of the Rishonim wrote a commentary on the Chumash called Paneach Raza. This Rishon's name was Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Gematria 208. The word Paneach is Gematria 208. Raza is also Gematria 208. And the Chida points out the Hashgacha, that the word Paneach and Raza are both 208. The commentary on the Paneach Raza from the son of the Maral of Prague, his name was also Yitzchak. So, turns out, both names of Paneach Raza are Yitzchak, are Gematria 208, and both the author and the one who wrote footnotes on it, their names were also Yitzchak. He asks, where did Yaakov Avinu get oil from? Say, what do you mean? Jews pack heavy. You know, when Jews travel, they bring everything they could possibly imagine that they might need or might not need, they bring it with them. You know, you ever see how Jews travel? You see, like, some people, they travel, they put everything in one knapsack. They have one change of clothing, and they don't worry about it. But many Jews, they travel, they bring with them, you know, weekday clothing, Shabbos clothing, kosher Pesach food, not kosher Pesach food. They bring with them Sfarim, they bring with them books, they bring the English edition, the Hebrew edition, the English Hebrew edition, whatever they might need or might not need, or somebody else that they know might not need, they bring it with them. So maybe Yaakov Avinu just packed oil with him. No, but Eliphaz was dispatched to run after Yaakov and to kill him. And Eliphaz says to Yaakov, what should I do? My father commanded me to kill you. Yaakov said, well, just take away all my money. And ani is chashiv kames. So Eliphaz had taken away all of Yaakov Avinu's belongings. So where did Yaakov Avinu get oil from? So the Paneach Raza answers, there's one thing Eliphaz did not take away from Yaakov Avinu. He didn't take away his staff. And this was no ordinary staff. This was the old screw-off cap staff. You know, the kind you could get in Amazing Savings. No, it's a special kind of stick. You screw off the top, and in the top, the screw-off top, you could store oil. So the one thing Eliphaz didn't take was Yaakov's stick. And Yaakov stored oil in the stick. How do we know Eliphaz didn't take the stick? Because he says, Ki bemakli avarti es hayarden hazeh. And it was hollow. And he always carried it with him, full of oil. Why did he always carry it with him? Lahadlik lomay Torah, to light it, to learn Torah. So here we see an amazing thing. Not only did Yaakov Avinu learn in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever for 14 years, but even after he left, he always brought oil with him to be able to learn at night. And what we're learning is the remarkable attachment that Yaakov Avinu had to Limud HaTorah. Not only did he learn uninterrupted for 14 years, he also transported with him the ingredients needed to continue learning on the road. Now, here's another interesting a little point about Yaakov Avinu's attachment to where he came from and to his place of learning. At the end of Parshas Vayetze, the pasuk says, "V'Yaakov halach ledarkoi, v'yifku uboi malachei elokim." Yaakov went on his way, and the angels of God encountered him. Rashi says, "Who are these angels of God?" It's the angels of Eretz Yisrael who are coming to greet Yaakov Avinu. As Yaakov Avinu was on his way back, returning to Eretz Yisrael, the angels of Eretz Yisrael came to greet Yaakov Avinu. Asked the Ramban, what? The angels of Eretz Yisrael came to greet Yaakov Avinu? Look at the Ramban on the third line in number 9. Yaakov Avinu was nowhere near Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was very far from there. In the next week's parashah, Vayishlach, he still has to cross Ma'avar Yaboik, which Yaboik is in the Gvul B'nai Amon, which is southeast of Eretz Yisrael. So if he didn't even get to Amon yet, he still has to go through Amon and Moav and Adaim, and he doesn't get to Eretz Yisrael until well into next week's parsha when he enters Shechem, like it says, Vayeva Yaakov Shamir Shechem. So why in the world would the Malachi Eretz Yisrael come out to greet Yaakov Avinu? He's nowhere near Eretz Yisrael. You ever wonder about that? Next week he comes to Yaboik. Yaboik is in Eretz B'nai Amon. That means he has to travel through Amon, through Moav, through Edom. He's nowhere near the land of Israel. Why are the angels of Israel coming out to greet Yaakov Avinu? Says the Maral, to answer the kasha of the Ramban, he says it's not difficult. Look at these words. Look where my icon is in number 10. Dekivan dehaya hoylech ubal Eretz Yisrael. Since he was headed toward Eretz Yisrael, bo hamalachim shel Eretz Yisrael lekrasai. The angels of Eretz Yisrael came out to greet him, lishmaraisai, to guard him. Dekivan detsoirech Eretz Yisrael hu. Since it was a need of Eretz Yisrael, he needed Eretz Yisrael, v'hu hoylech l'Eretz Yisrael, and he was headed to Eretz Yisrael, hadinoisein, it's logical, she'yu lo'y shoimrim malachi Eretz Yisrael, that the guards of Eretz Yisrael were headed toward him, l'chal ha'pachos hashmira davar shu toila b'halicha, she'lo yelo m'nei alavai l'Eretz Yisrael. Says Maral, a great principle. In Judaism, in the eyes of the Torah, you are not where you are. You are where you are headed. In the eyes of the Torah, you are not where you are. You are where you are headed. Judaism is a function of direction, not location. You know, if you go on to one of these apps, they give you your direction, they give you your location. So you could send your location to somebody else. But in Judaism, it's not, you are not located where you are. You are located where you are headed to. Yaakov was headed toward Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, he already is in Eretz Yisrael. You know, in physics, there's a term for this. In other words, if we would use terms, scientific terms, we would say Judaism is a vector, not a scalar. It's a matter of where you're going, not where you are located. There was once in Slabodka, there was a student who was very learned and very knowledgeable, and the altar of Slabodka did not honor him. And yet there was another student who was pretty much unlearned and not knowledgeable, and he would get very distinguished aliyos. And they asked the altar to explain why he honored the student who was not so knowledgeable. And basically the altar of Slabodka said, well, this student who was not so knowledgeable, he has a great desire to learn, to advance, to elevate himself, and he's headed upward. And because he's headed upward, he's located upward. The student who is very knowledgeable, he thinks he's already made it. He thinks he's arrived. He's not headed anywhere. Therefore, in my eyes, he is not valued like the other student. So we see something amazing here. Yaakov Avinu learned in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever for 14 years, uninterrupted, with great sacrifice. He didn't sleep at night. Even when he left, he brought his staff with him that had oil in it to be able to learn at night. And even when he left, he was always focused and headed on returning, and therefore he was considered like he was already back in Eretz Yisrael. And now we come to the clincher. You know, there are a lot of inconsistencies in some of the Divrei Chazal that Rashi actually innovates a novel way to understand Chazal. When Yaakov Avinu went to sleep, Amakam Hazeh, he said, "Ki ein zekiyim beis Elokim." This is only the house of God. What do you mean this is the house of God? Wasn't he in Beis El? Beis El is in the north. It's by Luz. So how could he say this is the house of God? What, Yaakov Avinu slept at the Har HaBayis? How could he have slept at the Har HaBayis? I thought he was in Beis El or Luz, which is in the north of Israel. So Rashi says that the ladder that Yaakov Avinu dreamt, its legs stood in Beersheva, which is in the south. The middle of its slope was Keneged the Beis HaMikdash. Beersheva is in the south of the region of Yehuda. Yerushalayim is in the north of the region of Yehuda, in the border between Yehuda and Binyamin. And Beis El is in the north, in Nachlas Binyamin, between Binyamin and Yosef. So it was a ladder. Its feet stood at Beersheva. Its head was in Beis El. And the middle of the slope was Keneged Yerushalayim. But wait a second, doesn't the Gemara say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yaakov Avinu, the Tzadik, came to my hotel, to the Waldorf Astoria of the Har HaBayis, and he's not going to spend the night in my hotel? Also, Chazal say that Yaakov called Yerushalayim Beis El. No, he didn't. That's Luz. Says Rashi, you have to say, Har HaMoriah moved. And when the Gemara in Chulin says there was Kfitzas Haaretz, it doesn't mean that Yaakov Avinu came toward the land. It means the land came toward him. The Beis HaMikdash traveled to Beis El. What's the story? The story is like this. Yaakov Avinu was traveling from Beersheva. He passed by northward. He passed by the Makom HaMikdash. He passed by Beis El. He got all the way to Charan. When he got to Charan, Yaakov Avinu said, "Oy vay, efsher she'avarti al makom she'spalu avoisai v'lo yispalalti boy. Is it possible I passed by the place that my forefathers Avram Yitzchak daven and I didn't daven? Yahiv data l'mahadar." He placed to his mind to return. V'chazar ad Beis El. And he returned to Beis El. V'kavtza loy ha'aretz. And the land jumped to him. You hear the story? Yaakov Avinu went from Beersheba. He passed by the Makom HaMikdash. He passed by Beis El, he got to Charan, and he said, "Och and vay, how could I have missed the opportunity?" He headed back to the Makom HaMikdash. He got to Beis El. When he got to Beis El, the Makom HaMikdash jumped toward Yaakov Avinu. Now, Rashi's bothered. When he was passing by the Makom HaMikdash, why didn't God send him a notification? "Hey, Yaakov, you might want to consider stopping here." So Rashi says, if he didn't remember, God will not remind him. And the Sifsei Chachamim explains that every person has free choice, and God does not tamper with your free choice. To the extent that not only does God not coerce you to do mitzvahs, He doesn't even suggest to you, maybe you want to do this mitzvah. Even that you need to think of yourself. The simple reading of these words of Chazal and Rashi is Yaakov Avinu passed by the Har HaBayis and he didn't daven. But then, when he got to Charan, look where my icon is, Efshir she'avarti al makom she'spalalu avoisai v'lo yispalalti. Is it possible that I passed by the place that my forefathers davened and I didn't daven. Yahiv Date Lemahadar literally means he put to his mind to go back to the Har Habayis. He said, how could it be that I passed by the Har Habayis and I didn't daven? So Yahiv Date Lemahadar, he placed into his mind, he reminded himself to go back to the Har Habayis. There's an amazing sefer on Masech Techulin. The name of the sefer is Dar Ravi'i. Dar Ravi'i, the fourth generation. It was written by Rav Moshe Shmuel Halevi Glasner, who is the fourth generation from the Chassam Sefer. And he was a very interesting personality. He was a Rav in Kloisenberg. And he was a very interesting personality. And he interprets these words of Chazal differently. And he interprets as follows. Yaakov Avinu had spent 14 years learning in the Yeshiva Hashem Ve'Ever. And when he was learning in the Yeshiva Hashem Ve'Ever, he was davuk ba'toira, attached to Torah, aduk ba'toira. And he was immersed in Kedusha. So Yaakov Avinu felt, look, I spent time learning in Yeshiva. Shoin genik, I spent enough time. Now it's time to go out into the world. And I'm well equipped in sanctity. After all, what a great foundation I have. I spent so much time learning Torah in the Beis Medrash. Now I'm ready for the real world. And what happened to him? He traveled from Beersheba. He passed by the Makom Har Habayis. And he didn't feel anything. And later on he says, is it possible I passed by the place where my forefathers davened, I didn't daven? How's that possible that I was so callous to Kedusha that I did not perceive the sanctity in the spot, that I just tread over it, and I was not alerted, my soul was not alerted, hey, you passing by the Makom HaMikdash. It must be I did not spend enough time in the Beis HaMedrash. Yahiv Datoy Lemahadar, he decided to return back to the Yeshiva Shem Be'ever. He realized that even though he thought he spent enough time learning in the Yeshiva and he was spiritually equipped to be able to now withstand the test of the outside world, he realized that after one little pause and break from the Yeshiva, he realized that no, he was not equipped enough. He was not immersed enough in Kedusha to be perceptive as he passed by the Har Habayis. In other words, Yahiv Date Lemahadar does not mean he placed in his mind to go back to the Har Habayis. Yahiv Date Lemahadar, he placed in his mind to go back to the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. He realized that just the thought of deciding to go to Lavan's house, so to speak, start his career, it already caused him to descend in Madrega, that he was not perceptive to the Kedusha of the Makom HaMikdash. That's what it means, Yahiv Date Lemahadar. So look at the great attachment to Torah that Yaakov Avinu had. He learned in the Yeshiva Shem Be'ever for 14 years uninterrupted. He didn't sleep at night. When he left the yeshiva, he brought with him his staff that had a screw-off cap with oil to learn at night. When he was headed back, he was so focused on the return that it was like he was there already. But even so, Yaakov Avinu realized that just the momentary lapse of connection to Torah, it caused him to descend in level that he was not perceptive to the Kedusha of the Har Habayis. You know, there's a very frightening observation of the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner in Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Tes, the Perek tells us about the story of Amar Rav Yossi ben Kisma, Pam Achas Hayisi Mehalech Baderech, one time I was going on the road, Upaga Bi Adam Echad, and I met someone, V'nasan Li Shalom, he greeted me, V'achzarti Lo Shalom, and I greeted him. Amar li, Rebbe, where do you come from? I said, from a great city of sages. He said, Rebbe, do you want to live with us? I'll give you hundreds of thousands of dollars and diamonds and rubies. And Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma said, no. You could give me all the money in the world. I will only live b'makam Torah. Says Reb Chaim V'lozhiner, this is like a melitza. What happened? What happened all of a sudden to Rabbi Yossi ben Kizma that someone is offering to pay to get him to move out of a location of Torah? You know what happened? What happened was Pam Achas Hayisi Mahalech Badarach. One time he was walking on the road. One time he left the Beis Medrash. Ah, he stepped outside of the Beis Medrash. There was the Yetzer Hara already in full regalia, ready to persuade and seduce Rabbi Yossi ben Kizma and lure him out for good of the Makom Torah. What did he do? What avera did he do that he's already prayed to the Yetzer Hara? No, nothing much. He put one foot out of the Beis HaMedrash and he's already in danger. So there's an idea and a level of Dveikus to Torah that Yaakov Avinu represents, and that is a total connection to Torah, where he could learn for 14 years, and after one night, where he's headed to the house of Lavan, even though he had with him his oil to learn at night, and he's always headed back to the Beis Medrash, he himself detected that his momentary lapse from the Beis HaMedrash caused him to descend in Madrega, that he was no longer perceptive to the Kedusha of the Har HaBayis. You know, the Chafetz Chaim observes that when Yaakov Avinu was on the way back to Eretz Yisrael, he was attacked by the Sarei Shel Esav, the Samach Mem, the angel of Esav, who wanted to wrestle with Yaakov and destroy Yaakov. You know, the Chafetz Chaim asked, quoted by Rabbi Chanan in the Kovetz Ha'arais, number 13, in the section Dugmois Lebiurei Agadais Aderech Hapshad, page 139. You know, we don't find that the Yetzer Hara ever came to wrestle with Avram Avinu and to defeat him physically. We don't find that the Sarei Shel Esav ever came to wrestle with Yitzchak Avinu. And yet Yaakov Avinu becomes the Sarei Shel Esav, and he begins to entangle and wrestle with Yaakov Avinu, and he wants to destroy him. Why did Yaakov Avinu deserve this distinction of the assassination attempt of the Samach Mem? And the Chafetz Chaim explained, because Torah is the very kryptonite of the Yetzer Hara. Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Torah is the antidote to the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara does not like chesed. He does not like when people are involved in kindly deeds. But he could tolerate it. So he said, Avram Avinu, the Ish Chesed, I don't like him. Chesed is a great achievement. Chesed is an elevating mitzvah. But it doesn't destroy me, so let him be. Yitzchak Avinu, Tfila. Tfila is an all-encompassing endeavor. One needs to pour out his soul in Tfila. When you speak words, the words you say are your life. Your words are your life. Your words are your life, and you pour them out in Tfila. Still, the Yetzer Hara says, I could tolerate the Tfila of Yitzchak Avinu. But Yaakov Avinu is Torah. And when it comes to Torah, it's either me or him. Over my dead body, the Yetzer Hara says. So the Yetzer Hara comes to destroy Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu reflects the complete attachment to Limud HaTorah, where Torah is your lifelong occupation. And not only is it a lifelong occupation, it's something that a person is connected to in every waking moment. Yaakov Avinu could learn for 14 years, and even when he leaves, he takes the oil with him to learn at night, and as he's headed back, that's what his focus is on. That's what his direction is. And if he's not perceptive to Kedusha, he indicts himself. It's because he needs to be back into the Beis Medrash. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein is troubled. He says, why is it that every time the Torah discusses the 14 years that Yaakov Avinu learned in the Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever, it never says it outright? it like you have to infer it. He slept in this spot, but in the 14 years he was in the Yeshiva Shem Be'Eber, he didn't sleep at night. These are the years of Yishmael. Why does it have to count the years of Yishmael? From the years of Yishmael, you could figure out that Yaakov Avinu was learning in the Yeshiva Shem Be'Eber. And each time, it never says openly Yaakov Avinu was learning in Yeshiva Shem Be'Eber. It's always something that we have to infer. And, you know, when you read the Chumash, you get the impression that Avram Avinu, what did he do all day? He served guests, and he waged wars, and Yaakov Avinu was always on the run. Why doesn't the Torah discuss their Torah learning? And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Torah learning? Does the Torah have to say they breathed? Doesn't it teach us in Perkei Avos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai taught, Im lamadata Torah harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik toiva l'atzmecha, don't give yourself credit, ki lekach noitzarta, that's what you were created for. So the Torah does not make a big deal or even discuss at all the Torah of the Avos, because, so to speak, that was their life. Avram Avinu was Zaken v'yoshev v'yeshiva. Yitzchak Avinu was Zaken v'yoshev v'yeshiva. Yaakov Avinu was Zaken v'yoshev v'yeshiva. So, you know, Rav Chaim Volozhiner presents to us this sort of ideal where, and this was, you know, the worldview of the Vilna Gaon and the Olam HaYeshivos, how Torah is not just a mitzvah like lulav and esrog, like sitting in the sukkah, like tefillin. Okay, I put on my tefillin, I took off my tefillin, I wore my tzitzis, I did an act of chesed. Torah is the life of a Jew. It's kihem chayenu, it's the air that we breathe in. Even, so to speak, a momentary step out of the Beis Medrash is considered a sakana. You're already prayed to the Samach Mem, like Rabbi Yossi ben Kizma, Pamachas, Halachti Badach, oh, Pamachas, watch out, here comes the Samach Mem. You know, there's a big machlokes. What is the correct path in life? The Gemara in Brachos and in Menachos brings the machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai. There's a contradiction. V'yasafta d'ganecha? Are you supposed to gather in your grain and go to work? Or lo yamush sefer ha-Torah zamipicha? So, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, nah, you don't go to work. If you're going to plow in the plowing season and plant in the planting season and harvest in the harvest season, what's going to be with the Torah? Bezman she Yisrael oisin rutzon shel makom malachta nasas al yedei acherim. The pasuk v'yasafta d'ganecha is when we're not doing the will of God. But the correct path in life is just to learn. That was the opinion of Rav Shem Bar Yochai. Rav Yishmael said, Haneg bohem minag derech eretz. You need to combine learning with working. You have to learn and you have to work. The words Rabbi Shmuel used were in Bracha Islam and Hamad Beis, Haneg Bohen Minag Darachatz. The Gemara's conclusion was, and it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't give a psak, but the Gemara makes an observation. The observation is, many tried to do like Rabbi Shmuel, meaning to work and to learn, va'olso biyadan, and they were successful. Many tried to do like Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai, and they were not successful. By the way, the Brisker Rav says that's a psak halacha. Meaning, psak halacha means normative Jewish practice is you work and you learn. The fact that many people have tried to do like the Rashbi and it didn't work means normative Jewish practice. This is not my words. I'm not telling you my opinion. Who am I? I'm telling you what the Brisker Rav says. Chidushei Hagriz al HaTorah. That this is not just an observation, but this is a halacha. This is normative Jewish practice. In any event, let's focus on the words of Rabbi Shmuel. Hanheg bohen minag derech eretz. By the way, the Gemara concludes that Rava said to the Rabbanan, I beg you, during Nisan and Tishrei, I don't want to see you in the yeshiva. I want you to work hard in Tishrei and in Nisan, and that way you'll be able to make money for the rest of the year, and then you'll be able to learn the rest of the year. Reb Chaim Volozhiner in the Ruach Chaim and also in the Nefesh HaChaim, he interprets the words of Rabbi Shmuel Hanig b'hem minog d'archeretz as follows. Hanig b'hem minog d'archeretz doesn't mean you should go to work. It means, you know what it means? Yafet Torah im d'archeretz? That while you're involved in d'archeretz, while you're working, in your mind you should be thinking of Torah. Hanig b'hem minog d'archeretz. Yeah, you should go to work. Go to work. You could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be a plumber, you could be an electrician, you could sell used cars, you could sell new cars, you could sell, just don't sell cars that never existed. Whatever you want to do. You could be a therapist, a counselor, a social worker, a psychologist, a psychiatrist. But while you're working, you should think about learning. Now, that doesn't mean that you should think about learning while you're working and do a lousy job. You know what you call somebody who thinks about learning while he's working and does a lousy job? You call him a ganav. He's called a robber. He's stealing. He's hired to do a job. And he has to do the job to his full capacity. He can't cut corners from his work because he wants to learn. But if there are opportunities where there are downtime, or it's not affecting the quality of your work, or on your way to work, or you have a lunch break, or you have to travel to meet a client. In other words, you're not only learning in the morning after shul or at night after shul on Shabbos, but you're able to incorporate learning into your work, again, in a way where it does not infringe upon the quality of your job. Rabbi Saul Salanter would say, you know, the Mekubalim teach that Chanoich was a shoemaker, and he would be miyached yichudim while he would stitch the shoes. So the simple meaning was, he was a great Kabbalist, and as he was working, he had very derhoibina kavanas, very elevated kavanas. So they asked Rabbi Saul Salanter, what was he thinking when he stitched the shoes? So Rabbi Saul Salanter said he was having the very spiritual kavana that I better stitch the shoes well so I don't steal from the people buying the shoes from me. That was the Kabbalistic kavana that he had. So you don't want to cut corners, but hanig v'hen minog d'archeretz is there are people that have windows and junctures during their work time. I know of a judge. He has a recess. During his recess, he calls all the frum lawyers, and he gives a shir. There are opportunities of hanig v'hen minog d'archeretz. What we're learning is a great ideal when it comes to Torah. You know, we can't make the mistake and think that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a mitzvah like other mitzvahs. You know, did you put on tefillin today? Oh yeah, I put on tefillin. I put it on and I took it off. Today I took it off right before Musaf. Okay, did you say Shema? Yeah, I said Shema. Oh, did I learn? Yeah, I learned. I learned from 11:50 to 12:40 today. Okay, that's very nice. It's a big mitzvah. But Torah is a different kind of mitzvah. Torah is a mitzvah that encompasses a person's whole life. While you're in the Beis Medrash, and even when you leave, you're always thinking about coming back. You're always thinking about returning. You know, the Rambam says that when a mitzvah comes up that cannot be done by somebody else, you interrupt your Torah learning to do it, and then v'yachzor lilimudai, then you return back to your learning. Learning is different than every mitzvah. Learning is a lifelong occupation where you never shirk it, you never leave. And even when you're not currently, even when you're working, or you're resting, or whatever you're doing, But riding on your mind is, when am I going back to my learning? Yaakov Avinu learned in the Yeshiva Shem Va'Ivra, but look at the attachment he had to his learning. He even brought with him a stick that had a screw-off cap that he stored oil to be able to learn at night. And moreover, as he's headed back from the house of Lavan to Eretz Yisrael, because he was headed to Eretz Yisrael, he was considered like he was located in Eretz Yisrael. And when he left the Yeshiva Shem Va'Evar and he passed by the Har Abayis, Yahiv Date Lemayhadar, in his mind he said, you know what? I didn't spend enough time learning uninterrupted in the Beis Medrash. So he placed to his mind to return, like the Nefesh HaChaim taught, that even a footstep out of the Beis Medrash, there's a certain danger. You can never say, okay, Baruch Hashem, the shir is over, I'm out of here. I'll come back to the learning a different time. No, you never leave the learning. It's always on your mind. It's always a responsibility that rests on your shoulders. Like Yaakov Avinu, Yahiv Date Lemahadar. He placed in his mind to return. You know, we say in Ahava Rabbah, very descriptive expressions, Avinu Av Harachaman, Hamirachim, Rachim Aleinu. We're asking Hashem for repeated mercy. Why? What are we asking for? That we're asking for so much mercy? Are we asking Hashem for a refuah shalema? Are we asking Hashem for good health? Imagine somebody in a very comfortable situation. He just had a nice big breakfast. He had 4 omelets. He had 5 rolls. He had a nice coffee. And he's sitting in an air-conditioned office. And he's in the mood of ice cream. And his friend passes by. And he says, my dear friend, my merciful friend, who has mercy, have mercy on me and bring me ice cream. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You're asking for mercy for ice cream? You just had a nice meal. If you're in the mood of ice cream, say, hey, pal, you want to do me a favor? Get me some ice cream. But why would you ask for mercy? Mercy is someone who's desperate. If you're 3 days in a desert without any sustenance and you have no water to drink and you see someone with a bottle of water, you could ask him for mercy. So what exactly are we asking God for so much mercy for in Ahava Rabbah? We're asking Him, Lishmaya, Lilmaid, Lilamaid, Lishmar, Velasais. We're asking God to help us understand the Torah. Why are we so desperate? The answer is, Ki hem chayenu v'orach yamenu. The Torah is the life of a Jew. It's our life in this world. B'shach b'cha tishmar alecha, v'hakitzoy sahi sesichecha, ki vi yirbu yamecha v'yosif. It's our life. It's our life. Limud ha-Torah is the life of a Jew. And when we're not actively engaged in it, it's on our mind. When are we coming back to it? We're never mesiach das from learning. It's not just a matter of, oh, he learns every day. He learns a lot every day. But how attached are we to the Torah? Is it always on our mind? How quickly do we come back to it? That's a level of dveikus to Torah that is taught by Yaakov Avinu. Now some people say, no, this is too much, you're putting too much pressure on me. I should have listened to a different shir today. This is too much, I have enough stress in my life. You're stressing me out. If you're too stressed out from this, listen, God did not give us mitzvahs as a stress. And some people are not able to, so to speak, assimilate such an idea. And for those people, you could just think, it's not that every second the person doesn't learn their oivra mitzvah saseh. Mitzvah Talmud Torah, there is a way to understand it, that it's like tefillin, it's like sukkah. Yes, indeed, every moment you're learning your mekayim an aseh, but if you don't wear tefillin the whole day, or you don't sit in the sukkah the whole day, you're not considered oivra an aseh. It's only if you don't wear tefillin at all the whole day. So too Talmud Torah. If you learn a little bit in the morning, you learn a little bit at night, you're mekayim the mitzvah. Now, the truth is, if you're able to learn and you don't learn, God is not mevater. Hashem does not overlook it. But you're not called oiver ba'aseh. So someone, so to speak, who doesn't have the fortitude to have this attitude to Torah, that it should be a constant occupation, they could still be a beloved Jew. But for those who want to live with a higher ideal, the truth is this idea is very empowering and very ennobling and very elevating. Think about how high Hashem thinks of us. Hashem knows what we're capable of, that we are capable of dedicating our life to Torah, that it should be something we do daily, something we do with all of our heart, and something even when we're not able to do, it rests on our minds, when can I come back to it? Hashem believes in us, and Hashem knows the great levels that we're capable of. And this is the ideal that is reflected by Yaakov Avinu. He learns for 14 years in the Beis Medrash. Even when he leaves, he brings his stick with him to be able to learn at night. He knows, he realizes, that if there's any lack in his madrega, he indicts himself, you know what? He didn't spend enough time in the Beis HaMedrash. And I would humbly suggest that is why there are no peis and samachs in Parshas Vayetze. I want to borrow an idea of Rav Gedalia Shor, but to say a little different. Rav Gedalia Shor writes in number 26 in the Ar Gedal Yahu, what is the function of a pei and a samach? Rashi says in the beginning of Vayikra, Litain revach lehisboinein bein parsha leparsha. It's a time for momentary pause to contemplate one parsha before learning the next parsha. Says the Ar Gedal Yahu, when Yaakov Avinu left Eretz Yisrael, he did not divert his attention from Eretz Yisrael until he returned. He was so attached to Eretz Yisrael, he never gave a moment of pause to divert his mind and his attention and his heart from Eretz Yisrael. He was always mekushar to Eretz Yisrael. Similar to what the Maral says, that Yaakov Avinu, even though he was very far from Eretz Yisrael, he didn't yet get to Yaboik and to Amoin and to Moav and to Edoim, but he was headed back to Eretz Yisrael. He was never Mesiach Das from Eretz Yisrael. But le'inyoneinu, or lefi darkeinu, the way we're understanding the theme of this week's parsha, there was another place that Yaakov Avinu was not Mesiach Das from. He spent 14 years of uninterrupted study in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. He brought his stick with him to learn at night, and he never diverted his mind from the Beis HaMedrash until the moment he returned. Yaakov Avinu learned in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. But even as he was passing by the Makam HaMikdash, when he did not feel that this was a holy spot, he realized he needs to go back to the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. The Yaakov Avinu was never Mesiach Das. He never diverted his mind from his lifelong mission of Limud Torah. Yaakov Avinu was so davuk and aduk to Torah, he was never Mesiach Das from his Devekus to Torah and from the Makayim of the Beis HaMedrash of the Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. He did not even want to give that momentary lapse like what happened to Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma of Pamachas Hoyisi Mahalach Baderech Upagali Adamechad. So this is the semel of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the semel of Torah. Titein Emes LiYaakov. And by learning this parsha, we ask ourselves, Masai Yagiu Masai Lamasai Avoisai Avram Yitzchak VeYaakov. Because Baruch Hashem, we all learn and we love learning and we're connected to our learning. But this level of connection, of never to divert your mind, even when you're not learning, to when can I come back to the Beis HaMedrash, when can I return to my learning, that is the Madrega of Yaakov Avinu, from which we learn from and we all aspire to. Rabbi Isai, have a great day. Bracha v'hatzlacha. And see you soon. Kol tov, everyone. Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.